In our gospel today, Jesus gives a reality check to his disciples about where people should place their hope. And it's not in any temple built of human hands. And so he tells them, you know, a very sobering thing. All that you see here, this marvelous temple and all the splendor in which you have such awe, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. And this leads then to him giving a fearsome description of the tribulations to come. And this description really points to, well, a number of realities. First of all, to that destruction which did overwhelm Jerusalem in the year 70. You know, and if you go to Jerusalem to this day, to the temple, you can see that reality and the tumbled ruins of that temple that was destroyed by the Roman legions in that year. It also points prophetically to other times of cataclysm that his church has experienced throughout history, and certainly different times and places where people say, this is the tribulation, this is the great cataclysm. And the Lord has ushered his church through those times. But it does also point to a final resolution of all things. When, in many ways, there's this great tribulation, the working out of the logic of sin and of man and his false autonomy and all the strife and corruption that causes, but then it leads to this resolution of all things. So Jesus, he reassures his committed disciples. And it's important not to lose sight of those reassuring words in the midst of all that he describes. He says to them, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Now, real perseverance requires, of course, real hope. Yeah, but what exactly is this hope? What is this Christian hope that we all have been given in our lives and that we all need to live out of? It's something that in our men's retreat yesterday, we meditated on this reality. I want to share a few thoughts about that with you. What is this hope? Well, if you go to one of the great theologians of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, he kind of differentiates two different kind of levels of hope. There's that hope that's considered as a feeling, as a passion, kind of response to simply sensible things. You know, and that kind of hope, the object that we're focused on is some future good that may be difficult, but it is possible to obtain. You know, there may be some work, some arduousness there, some kind of obstacles, but I do know it's possible to push through those to obtain this good, and there can be then this passion, this feeling of hope. So to give an example, you know, when I went to Spain to walk the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela, you know, the great hope, you know, was to get there and to complete the pilgrimage. But knowing that, of course, there are obstacles along the way, you know, there are obstacles of just all the walking and how would the weather be and how would our health hold up and those kinds of things. But just knowing like, okay, this is still possible to do. And another part of that hope is realizing that as well as there are obstacles, I also have means to accomplish, to obtain this good. You know, means both that are in myself and also means that come from another. And so with that pilgrimage, okay, I've been training. I've been putting my miles in on the Highline Canal and up Waterton Canyon. I think I've got good shoes that are broken in. You know, I've been doing these things. And then with the help of others, you know, I've got these fellow companion pilgrims, you know, who can help me along the way and get me out of bed or things like that to like keep moving, right? And so there's this kind of natural level of hope, this kind of this movement, this passion, reckoning a good that may be a challenge to obtain, but also the ways that I can get it. When we look at maybe that ultimate good, that's where that Christian virtue of hope comes into play. It's when that future good is not just the pilgrimage I'll accomplish or some other sensible good of this world, but that future good is eternal life itself. that ultimate good that really fulfills and brings about everything that I could possibly hope or desire for, all those little goods in this world, whatever's good in them pointing to this, that's that ultimate good of eternal life. And I know that I can't simply obtain that on my own. I have my response to make, but ultimately I have this trust in divine assistance to help bring me to and obtain this everlasting good. That is the Christian virtue of hope, focused on this great end and the great one who can bring me to it. And the neat thing is, just like the Christian virtues of faith and charity, which have been given to me in my baptism, implanted in me to act out of these great gifts of grace, they give me contact with God, both faith in knowing God and charity and being united in love with Him. Hope puts me in contact with God as well. Kind of like if I'm leaning against somebody who's giving me help, I'm in contact with them. So as I turn in reliance upon the Lord, I'm really in touch with Him. And so hope is not simply a feeling or an emotion. You know, certainly not based just simply on my own reckoning and my own resources, but this Christian hope is a real and living and supernatural contact with the Lord Himself, who can bring me to this great good that He has prepared for me. So the Catechism defines this hope in this way. Hope is the theological virtue, you know, it's oriented towards God, by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. That's the great and everlasting good. Placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. I think it's a beautiful definition, but it's a definition, and people can kind of hang on to words in different ways. So let me give you kind of more of the reality of this personal reality, that hope is ultimately based on the reality of God's presence with me. Faith reveals that to me, and hope helps me to depend upon that. Pope Benedict the 16th once said that hope is a looking forward in Christ's presence, you know, along with Him. It is with Christ who is present, the Pope says. So as I'm looking out to that infinite horizon of eternal life, and that's where I know I want to go, it isn't like the Lord's kind of out there, you know, kind of like He's looking at His stopwatch, kind of taking your time, or let's keep it moving, you know. He's right there with us. And indeed, Christ is within us and helping us and giving us that grace. And so the gospel says when these disciples are going to face this tribulation and all the great obstacles and perils, Christ promises that He will be with us. I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that no one can refute. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says that encouraging Christians in their own tribulation, let us hold unwaveringly to our confession that gives us hope, for He who made the promise is trustworthy. And so Jesus gives us this great promise. He says, you will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. It's interesting, if you look at the different books of the Gospels, Luke and Matthew and Mark. In Luke, very often, it's how he portrays this is, you know, our Lord speaks very tangibly about things, you know. But in the Gospel of Matthew, He kind of starts to push into the spiritual reality that can be there in what Jesus is saying. So in the Beatitudes, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus simply says, blessed are the poor, you know, full stop. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, that deeper kind of spiritual poverty that makes us turn to God. The same thing with this passage. If in this, Jesus says, by your perseverance, you'll secure your lives. The Gospel of Matthew, kind of pushing into that deeper meaning, Jesus says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. You know, so it's not just about securing our lives here and now. I mean, those are passing, and at any moment, those could be ended. But it's about that being saved for eternal life. And Jesus says, not a hair on your head will be destroyed. Well, we know that there's the history of Christian martyrs, you know, and a lot of that hair of just simply this life, you know, was destroyed. But what he's speaking about is that greatness of the resurrection, that resurrected life. And Jesus leads the way in showing us that, of passing through that persecution and tribulation, that great testing himself, and then being glorified. And so that's good news for us, especially maybe for those who are hair challenged in this life, that, you know, full head of glorified hair awaits you. You know, that eternal life, you know, is our true and genuine hope. And so I want to finish by speaking about a particular dimension of this Christian hope, and that's called the grace of final perseverance. And that's something so important for us to be praying for, both for ourselves and for others, and not like when I'm in the ER or, you know, when I'm in hospice or something like that, or the house is on fire, but like already now, Lord, please give me that grace of final perseverance. What does that mean? It means perseverance in God's grace, in that charity friendship with him, of not being in mortal sin at the time of my death, when I go through that personal tribulation. But instead, Lord, when I come before your tribunal, may it be as one who is in your grace. That's the final perseverance, to run the race all the way to and through that finish line with God's help. And so the grace of final perseverance really has kind of two parts to it. The first is that in God's providence, those means of grace will be available to us. Those sacraments of last rites, the special graces that God will give us in those moments, that in his caring providence, that they will be available at the time of death to either remain in God's grace, or if I'm not, to be restored to it. And so asking the Lord for his providential help for that. And the second part is then that we also cooperate with it and indeed make use of that grace put before us, not spurning it or being neglectful of it. You know, and why ask for this? You know, I think there's really two realities that are being balanced in asking for this grace of final perseverance. On one side, we have what St. Paul once said to the Philippians, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So we have this divine assistance and God's willingness for it. But Paul also warns the Corinthians in a letter to them saying, therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. I trust in God, not in myself. And so I ask God for that grace of perseverance, that I would be persevering in the hope that he gives me. In the end, this interplay, it's not a mystery to figure out, but rather a grace and a mercy to ask God for. As the church teaches, the gift of perseverance can come only from him, that is God, who has the power to confirm the standing or to raise the fallen. You know, so it is something for us to indeed ask and pray for now, already in our lives, whether I'm 18 or 80, you know, that grace of final perseverance. I do not know how long this race is that I have, when that personal tribulation will come, but Lord, please be there with your grace at that time. Help me to hope in that and to seek that out. And to pray that not only for ourselves, but for those around us. And maybe an image would be helpful for you to think about this incredible grace. And that's of the image of Saint Joseph, who's known as the patron saint of a happy death. You know, and what does that mean? It means that, well, when Joseph died, he had two really great people with him. He had Mary, his wife, and Jesus, his adopted son, with him. And that's, I think, just a visible, powerful image of what this grace of final perseverance is. To be in God's friendship, to be with this great work of grace that he has been trying to accomplish in my life, and to persevere in that all the way to the end. Jesus says, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. May we be strengthened in the Christian virtue of hope, knowing the presence of Jesus Christ with us, and never falling into presumption nor giving way to despair.